Love you and me.
Yeah.
Brother Roger's been trying to tell me all morning he's his favorite. I don't believe it. I think I'm his favorite. I'm his pet. He treats me better, Brother Roger. Yeah. He loves us anyway. Been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Brother Dave, would you pray for us, please? I heard this week, you know, there's still some flat earthers around that believe the world's flat. And, of course, some of us believe it's round. And what I heard was we're both wrong. The world's crooked. Brother David is praying about that. Now, also I want to go on record saying that the first 11 chapters in this book are true. The whole book's true, but the first 11 chapters are true. I don't know why, I just keep hearing over and over and over again, the liberals hate the first 11 chapters. I just want to go ahead on record and say they're true. Every word in the first 11 chapters is true, and the rest of the book of Genesis is true, and then the whole book is true. It's the Word of God. You can depend on it. You can count on it. You can rely on it. You can trust it. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. It's true. In those first 11 chapters, we learned about the creation of all things, and then man corrupted all things, and so God came in there and He had to condemn all things. We had the flood, and then the confusion of all things. Man got confused, and man's been confused ever since. I didn't know which way was up, to tell you the truth. I was confused myself. Now we started in the patriarchs. There's four main patriarchs, but we're stuck on the first one here, Abraham chapter 17. Again, dear Lord, I pray You'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 1 we looked at last week. It said, in, this is Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, the one that's got all the might, all the power that there is, He's got it. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And then we saw that the word covenant's in this chapter 13 times, and we'll see a little bit about that covenant. And then I up and said the phrase, I will, was in there 7 times, and I believe I was really wrong about that. Let's try to count them here. Sister Vicki, you okay this morning? Okay, you want to count? Okay, verse 2 here we got I will. And then you look down here in about verse 6 it says I will. And then it says I will. And verse 7 says I will. See, God's doing it all just like He laid out that meat there a couple chapters back. And He's promising. He's doing the promising. Verse 8. We got I will at the beginning, and then at the end, there's another I will. But look here in verse 9, He says, thou shalt. He's got something He wants me to do, too. He wants you to do. Then down in verse, look at 15, He says, thou shalt not. Might be some things He don't want me to do. Verse 16, I will. Then on down a little bit more there in the middle of the verse, it says, I will. I will. Verse 19. Says, thou shalt, and I will. Verse 20 says, and as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him. I think that's an I will right there. And then at the end of the verse, it says, I will. And then verse 21 starts off with, I will. How many is that, Sister Vicki? I really messed up. I said there were 7. You'll find all kinds of stuff like that that I say, but you won't find it in here. Not in here. Not in here. Okay, well, back in 17, we're on verse 2 there. It says, and I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, he's fallen on his face, I believe, because of the wonder that God would talk to him, a sinner. Just one chapter back, he left everything and went and dealt in the flesh floundering around in the flesh, just like I do many times. And Abram's on his face now, in spite of his unbelief. The sin that does so easily beset us over there in Romans, I'm confident, is unbelief. It's not different for each one of us. It's the same. See, if I believe it, I won't have any trouble doing it. If I really believe it,
right,
I won't.
Right.
Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. God's changed his name to a father of many nations. That's what Abraham means. And him and Sarah haven't even had a baby yet. This is all faith. All faith. When up in verse 1, God reveals himself as Almighty. When he reveals himself as Almighty, he changes Abram's name to Abraham. A few years later, when he reveals himself as Almighty to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, then he changes his name to Israel.
Yeah.
We might get our name changed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. You could. 2 Corinthians 6. If I recognize he's Almighty, might end up getting my name changed. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's good news right there. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You can get in this morning. If you're not in the family, you can get in this morning. He said, I have made thee. He told right here at the end of verse 5, he tells Abraham now, he said, I have made thee. Not I'm going to make you. He said, it's a done deal. I made you. You're going to have nations. Your seed will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. Verse 6 now. This is his new title. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make a nation of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to be thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Israel is an earthly people. Abraham's people are earthly people. We're getting ready to go up. They worshiped in the land. We worship the Lord. The big L, Lord, by the way. Up to this time, Sarah's womb had been a tomb. But what God's going to do is bring life out of death. She's 99, getting ready to be 100, and God's going to give him a baby. Romans 4. We've gone over the first four verses several times. I won't do that again today. God blessed Abraham. Abraham got saved. He believed God, and God marked him down righteous. He wasn't righteous. He wasn't any more righteous than I am. But he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And verse 6, Romans 4, 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I didn't do anything. Brother Dennis helped us here one morning. We had a big horse syringe, and we painted it black, and we saw Dennis was the Lord, and I put that syringe right here and imputed the Lord on Calvary with my sin. The Lord took something that didn't belong to Him. It was my sin. And then Dennis imputed me with a red hypodermic needle, and that was the blood of Jesus. I get imputed with something that didn't belong to me. It's the righteousness of Christ. That's that imputed. Verse 6, we're in Romans 4, 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. See, I didn't start being good. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't get in the family because I obeyed some of the commandments.
Right.
One or two of them. That's not how I got in.
Right.
I got imputed with something that didn't belong to me. I'm not supposed to be here. It's grace that I'm here. Undeserving favoritism. Let's look at verse 16 here. Therefore, it is a faith. You believe it this morning?
Yeah.
You believe it all?
Yeah.
Believe it all this morning? Yeah. It's a lot more fun if you believe it.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise. Are you claiming a promise or keeping a law this morning? To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which were not, which be not as though they were, who against hope, this is Abraham, against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I think she was 90. I said 99. I think she was 90. He was 100. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It glorifies God when we trust Him, when we believe Him, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but to us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's almost Easter. You believe it this morning? You believe? Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm the one that sinned, but He's the one that died. In the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, the people sinned, but the fire fell on an innocent lamb, an innocent animal. The people sinned, but the judgment fire fell on the lamb, on an innocent substitute. Jesus is our substitute this morning. We can go to heaven because He's good. We don't have any goodness. Because He kept the law. Because I didn't. I didn't. Verse 9, here's Abraham's new task. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And verse 10, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Abraham's the first man to be circumcised. And circumcision is a seal of God's promise, not the source. Not the source. Abraham was saved by faith back a few chapters. Back 13 years ago, actually. Abraham got saved. This is like compared to New Testament works. And circumcision of the flesh is useless without the heart being circumcised. He got his heart circumcised back in chapter 15. Now, the flesh. Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token. A token. Not salvation. It's a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Circumcision is the same thing as good works for the New Testament believer. It follows faith. And again, we did not become sons because we obeyed in one or two areas. That's not how we got in the family. It's by faith, just like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and we can believe the same God today. Verse 12, here's more of that new task. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. There's a natural resistance to infection in newborn babies, which, by the way, all babies are new. Just learned that the other day. There's a special, God put in a special resistance to infection the first 7 days, and God nailed it again on the 8th day. It's when the blood first starts to coagulate, I think is the word, set up. And so that's how God, that's what doctors figured out later. God says it in Genesis 17. Then 13, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Born right there in the house. Fellas, you need to find someone that's homeborn in the house, that's born here at the altar in the house of God. Girls, you need to watch out for someone that was born at home right here in God's house at the altar. God's really concerned about that. That we would marry someone that was born in the house.
Yeah,
born in the house. 14, the penalty. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Then verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. Now, S-A-R-A-I means contentious, but S-A-R-A-H means princess. So God changed her name here, also when he reveals the fact he's almighty. Then he reassures Sarah right here, starting in 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Not Hagar, of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, of kings, of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said, in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Verse 19, pretty clear. Got any questions on verse 19? God has plenty of clear commands, and this is a clear promise. Let's hold your finger there. Let's go to 21. God said it would happen. God said it would. 21, verse 2. God's word is certain. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. God said, when God says it, it's certain. It will come to pass just like he said. And it did right here again. Now here's God and Ishmael starting in 20. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. He's speaking as if Isaac is already here, like it's past tense. Well, you can do that. Once God says it, it's a done deal. When he says something, that's it. It's going to come to pass. Starting in 23, now here's the removal of Ishmael's flesh. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among men of every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of all their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in his flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael's son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Chapter 18. Now, Abraham is blessed living in his tent like a pilgrim. When we get to the next chapter, we're going to find Lot living a blasted life in a house in a city. Abraham took the blessings. He said, you pick first, you go that way, I'll go this way. Here's the tremendous news starting in 18. Here's the reception by Abraham. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by. Well, now, was it three or one? It's going to switch back and forth down through here. Singular, plural, plural, singular. It's going to go back and forth. A picture of the Trinity, if you will, which I can't explain the Trinity anyway, and I can't explain it in this chapter. But it's a picture of it anyway. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, now was it the Lord or them? And he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So here Abraham, he meets some heavenly visitors. And they're going to stay with him here for lunch anyway. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash their feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and yourselves, by the way. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened in the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham, he's going to help her. No wonder she's going to do it. This is a husband that's helping her. And he ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young men. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Here he's taking care of his visitors. He's been hospitable. A little southern hospitality, a willing servant's heart. Now here's Sarah's reaction in 9. And they said unto him, where's Sarah thy wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time. He said, by the way, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Then, you know, we all have lapses of faith. Well, I do. I don't know about y'all. Every once in a while, we have a lapse of faith. Here, Sarah's got a few doubts here. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. I mean, it's too good to be true. As she laughs, a miracle. A miracle. You know, the virgin birth was a miracle. And this birth, anybody that's 99 years old and has a baby, it's a miracle. Here's another miracle. Let's look at it in Hebrews 11. verses 11 and 12. Here's the record of it. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, here's why, she judged him faithful who had promised. Wherefore sprang there of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. It happened just like he said, just like God said it would happen. 13 and 14 is the declaration. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord, the big L Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And we read about it. It happened just like God said. In verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. For she was afraid and said, nay. And he said, nay, thou didst laugh. Now, I want you to notice something. It's amazing to me. Up in verse 12, Sarah laughed on the inside. I don't think she lied. She didn't laugh out loud. She did like me and you do many times and held it in. You might be doing it right now to this old bald-headed guy. Many times in church we hold it in. And Sarah laughed within herself. But the Lord knew it. The Trinity knew it. I'm talking about omniscience this morning. You know, just a couple of chapters back, we saw Hagar. She said, Lord God, thou seest me.
Yeah.
Well, he don't just see me this morning. He sees what I'm thinking about. He sees what's in my... He sees why I'm here. Did I come so y'all see my tie? Is that why I came? Did I come because I get paid to come? Did I come because I want to come? Why am I here this morning? You know, he knows. He sees. He doesn't just see me, though. Look how he sees me. Let's check it out in Matthew 9. I'm talking about the God that we serve, that big L Lord. Matthew 9. Omniscience. Omniscience this morning in a person. Matthew 9:3-4. Behold, certain of the scribes within themselves said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? I'm talking about we have a God that knows everything.
Yes,
I hate to tell you this morning, but he knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what's in your heart. He doesn't just know what you do. He knows why you do it. He knows what motivates me. He knows. You're looking kind of skeptical. Let's try chapter 12. Matthew 12. Talk about omniscience. I know he's omnipotent. I know he's omnipresent, but that's not all. Matthew 12:25. Talking about he knows everything. He's not a know-it-all. But he knows everything. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts.
Yeah.
And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Yeah.
Luke really liked it. Luke 5. Luke 5. 22. And 23. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, see, he knows why I put money in the pot. If I do put, he doesn't just know if I put money in the pot. He knows why I put it in there.
Right.
And if I'm glad about it or not. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said to them, why reason ye in your hearts whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk? Chapter 6, verse 7. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. They were always trying to trick him. You can't trick the trickster. that they might find an occasion against him. See, they had the wrong motive in their heart. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, I'll ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? I come this morning to tell you, he knows everything. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows my whys and wherefores. Chapter 9. Luke 9. Omniscience is the word for it. Chapter 9, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them. See, that's human reasoning. That humanism will kill us. There arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest? And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by them and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all is the same shall be great. And then here's the last one, chapter 11 in Luke. Verse 16-17. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom is divided against itself, is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Okay, back to Genesis now. Chapter 18. And verse 16. Here's the indictment against Sodom. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, the big Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Remember Lot's down in Sodom. Nephew Lot, by the way. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Just going to go ahead and tell you this morning, while I'm reading this verse, America is blessed because of Israel. Let me read that again. We better keep being friends with Israel.
Yes, sir.
We better be on Israel's side. We better pray for her. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. That's brand new. And his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. We may have more on this later, but let me just go ahead and say, God said, I know Abraham, that he will command his children. Let me go ahead and say, either your children command you or you command your children. God said, for I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. See, the way of the Lord, the big Lord, is that I would command my children to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This is Abraham's faithfulness. Let's check it out in James 2. James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the capital F, friend of God. Abraham was God's big friend. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It's a package deal. See, when you get saved, then you'll figure out, you'll get in the Bible and figure out, well, hey, I need to be baptized. And you'll get in the Bible and you'll figure out, hey, I need to go to church. And then you'll figure out, man, I'll start doing right. And some things like that. It's a package deal. Now, those things don't save you. But they follow. They follow. Good works follow faith. Faith without works is dead. John 15. When you get saved, you will go toward the truth. When you hear the truth, it'll ring true to you, and you'll go toward the truth. John 15:14. You're my friends. Hey, we can get in like Abraham. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Get saved by faith and then follow. John 10. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's what saved people do, is follow. That's like what Abraham did. He said, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That's Abraham's faithfulness. Here's Sodom's filthiness, starting in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. That's the Lord talking. Remember, He knows our thoughts. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And you know how it goes down through here, the intercession. Right here, Abram pleads for 50. Verse 24, peradventure there'd be 50 righteous in the city. He says, God, would you destroy it? And the Lord says, no, I'll not do it for 50. Then Abraham says 45. And God said, yes, I'll spare it for 50. I'll not destroy it. Then Abraham says 40. God said, yes, I would spare it. Then Abraham says 30. And God says, yes, I'll spare it. And then he says 20. And he says, yes. And he says 10. Would you spare it for 10? And the Lord said, no, if there's 10 righteous, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. That's the end of verse 32. And there's Lot and Lot's wife and his two unmarried daughters and his two married daughters and their two husbands. That's 8. But only 3 are saved. So what's going to end up is the Lord's going to get them out and destroy it. The judge of all the earth will do right. The great tribulation is going to come after the church goes out. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.